the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. And I know there's a few folks missing. Sister Carl's off to England, then off to Portugal. Is it Portugal? Portugal. Praise God to see the sister-in-law's daughters. Praise the Lord, and going to see family. So we just pray the Lord will give a real good time, and we appreciate the Lord. Let's turn to Revelation tonight, and the Lord bless each one. I can't get this thought out of my head. I keep thinking about it. I had to go in and really go over a lot of these things. I want to read from Revelation 14, verse 6, just for an opening tonight. And I was thinking, you know, people talk about different gospels, but I believe there's one gospel. But in that one gospel, there's many different things in it. But it's all the one thing. Amen. Verse 6 of Revelation chapter 14. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight for the everlasting gospel. We thank you that the gospel shall never lose its power, for it is the power of God unto us that are saved. Foolishness to the world, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Lord, we will ask you for more of that same power, more of that same spirit, more of that same anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come upon us, come upon your people this evening. We rebuke every spirit of infirmity and fear, and every work of the devil. We come against it in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We pray for the Holy Ghost to move in this service tonight. We ask that your word will have free course in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, that you'll give us wisdom and an unction from the Holy One this evening. I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. Lord, I need you, but you are available to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we can even think or ask. Wash us in your blood. Purify us. Sanctify us. Lord, we heard the last week that it cleanses us from past, present, and future sin, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No longer to be remembered against us anymore, but it's put into the sea of God's great forgetfulness. Lord, we're glad for that tonight. We're free tonight. And our conscience is clear and the account's clear because of your blood. Help us this evening for those that want prayer and need prayer. We ask you'll touch them, minister unto them. We think of Stephen Bruce tonight as well, diagnosed with cancer. We curse that cancer on him in Jesus Christ's name. We come against that demon and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ it'll go from him. We ask you'll save him and you'll heal him. And we plead your blood all over him. And we say, pray the life of the blood will speak on him and over him in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for all the rest has been mentioned and prayed for tonight, we ask you will do it. Give our sister Carl traveling mercies and Samantha as they go to see Ruth, and give them a good time. Lord, may there be no chasm or strife, but may everything work out well. And Father, may you have your way. For those that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, whatever the circumstances, just be with them. Bless the mothers, bless the children, and have your way amongst us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know what? As a sign of that, really go have a look at this. And three things to the everlasting gospel and to preach it. Three things. And I thought there would be a few thoughts, but what happened was as it developed out, then it says to myself, there's no way, not even one meeting's going to bring all this out. And there's so many things, what you could say about it. The word everlasting's mentioned 91 times in the Bible. The word gospel's mentioned 98 times. And the word preach is mentioned 145. And then you could go again. Because you could put in the word preaching and other variations, and it would go again. But this is mentioned a lot of times. And when something's mentioned so often, I always said we need to have a look at it. It's worth looking at. And this word everlasting here is from the Greek word, and it's aionios, which means eternal, constant, abiding. And this eternal was used when referring to eternal life. And we know tonight that Zoe is a Greek word for the life of God. That's a Greek word for it. And it's that Zoe life we need, and that when we get that life of God, we'll say it like that, when we get the life of God in us, then we have eternal life when his life comes in us. And he is the only one that can give that life. Jesus never actually preached himself. Did you know that? Jesus said, it's not me that does the works. It's a Father that dwelleth in me. Amen. He says, it's him that does the works. It is Almighty God that done the works in Jesus. And it's the same Almighty God that can do the work in me and you. Because when we follow God's blueprint, which the church, that's the book of Acts, and here's what it reads. All that Jesus began has to be continued. And we know that the church continued what Jesus began. In the way of preaching, in the way of miracles, in the way of signs, in the way of wonders, because God was still working and God was still moving. The life which is God's and cannot be affected by limitations of time. So this life, which is God's life, cannot be affected. There's no limitations on it. Time doesn't do anything to it. It can't be decayed. It won't wear out, rust out, rot out, decay. There's no limitations on it. It is a constant flow and a constant source. It's available 24/7. It remains the same. It can't go any more than it is. It can't go up or down. It's like his love. It's persistent. It's pure. It's the same. Because God is unchanging and his ways are unchanging. Praise God. Anonius, that's the Greek word for it. It's specially predicated of the saving blessings of divine revelation, denoting not belonging to what is transitory, so it can't change, meaning having neither beginning nor ending. It's not something which is transitory, not something that can be changed, because it has no beginning and it has no ending. This, what we're talking about, is far beyond the capability of man's production. That's why anybody that preaches they can save themselves, they're false. They cannot save themselves. They needed a Savior. And this Savior imparts eternal life. And that life has no beginning and has no ending. And when that life comes in you, you then have eternal life. And you cannot die. Your flesh might go to the grave, but your soul cannot die. For the Spirit of God remains in you. And you have eternal life. You're part of God. And just as God then is eternal, then that same life's in you. And you then are eternal. Praise God. Now I want to look at some scriptures as a Bible study tonight. Some things about this, and this is just the first part of it. And you see, it's no beginning, no end. In Romans 16, verse 26 says this, but now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, the everlasting God. You see, I don't care what system you work with or anything that man works with. It started somewhere. It's not everlasting. But we tonight are working with the everlasting God with unchanging ways. And think tonight on healing as well. There's attributes that were in him from the beginning. In him, he wanted to be a father. In him, he wanted to be a savior. In him, he wanted to be a healer. Them attributes were all in him from the very beginning of time, even before the word was made. And we know then that Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, and all things are made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that's made, and they consist by him. Now that word consist by him means they are maintained by him. Man doesn't maintain the universe. God does. It's God that maintains the universe. And this world cannot end until God decides. It's God that will decide when everything's going to happen. God's a time that no man knows. And even the second coming of the Lord, Jesus says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, only the Father. And you know, we can't predict or give a prophecy and say Jesus will come, the second coming will be in such a date, because we can't do that. All we can do is know of the season or the times, as in when you see the fig tree putting forth its leaf, you know it's near. And that was Israel becoming a nation. We know it's near. We're at the end time. We know that scripturally. But when the Lord will actually come, no man can tell you when the Lord will actually come. And I tell you, there's no man has a message that can make him come faster. I don't believe that. I've heard people preach, when we all get in step and we do certain things, the Lord will come. And a lot of people believe that. And I do believe we have to be ready for his coming. That's scripture. We have to be ready. Jesus himself preached that. When we look at the virgins and the midnight cry, he said, be ready for an hour, you think not. Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works. You see, it's without end. This eternal that we're talking about, this everlasting, what we're talking about, has no beginning. It has no ending. I want you to muse on that for a moment. Think of that for a moment. Then think of a man that preaches, I can save myself. I have something in me that can save me. Now remember, a man that's talking to God, before a man or a woman's born again, the Bible says they're dead in trespasses and sins. And God says, where I am, you can't even come. And the Bible says your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. And we're all born in sin, and we're all shaping in iniquity. And the man comes to Jesus and says, who's good? And Jesus says, there's none good. No, not even one. So everyone would fail. And even when God gave them then commandments through Moses, they failed. And even before Moses got down to the mountain, it broke everything, it messed about. And he smashed them out of temper. He broke the tablets. And God went and gave him an oar, said to them, he had a temper, you know, Moses had. Certainly he had. Sure, he killed the man and he hit him. He had a temper, all right. Moses is one of them boys where the boat saw temper. Must have been a bit of harsh breeding in him somewhere. Fighting Irish to talk about. But it's not the truth. The boy said, will ye also kill one of us and hide us in the sand? He killed the man and hit him. But God used that man. Romans 16:25 says this. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. This is Paul preaching. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So this gospel didn't just start on the cross, but this gospel is before the world began. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a lamb slain. Amen. From the very foundations of the world. Amen. So God at the very beginning, before man was made, or even fell or was in that garden, God had a plan. Amen. And I tell you, God's plan was a master plan. And it didn't matter what was going to come to override it. There was no superior intelligence than God's. And everything the devil could bring up, God had something better. And he still has. Amen. And anything the devil can put on somebody, the Holy Spirit can take it right off you. Amen. Because he's greater than the devil. He made him. And he's a tool in God's hand. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now, if we could save ourselves, that would be, but we could work to do it. But we cannot work to save ourselves. We can't do it. But it's him that's done it. It's all him. Amen. All him. His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we had a purpose given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God had a plan before the world began. We're not working with someone that somebody brought up in a doctrinal form and called it some organizational name some hundreds of years ago. We're working with someone, remember this, before the Bible was even written in a letter like we have it, it still was there. Because you know God first wrote it in the earth, in the sense of the planets and all that. How many knows that? God did it. God had a plan. And then that word became where it was printed. And you know that in the beginning, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was God. He was the Word and he was God. He was with God and he was God. And verse 14 of John 1 says, and he's made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And you quoted the Father one time, in the beginning was the Logos. And he says, you can't say that. And I says, well, that's the original way it says it. Oh, but I don't believe that, brother. I says, not matter what you believe, that's the Bible. Amen. That Logos that went out from him. Amen. All things made by him and for him. In the bosom of the Father. Isn't that it? From when? The foundation of the world. Praise God. Look at Titus 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life. In hope of eternal life. Which God that cannot lie. So when we read someone from this Bible, it's absolute. You see, there's no way even a good prophet or a good man could, you know, most of it could be right. But somewhere if that human being ejects in his own thinking, then it's no longer absolute. But God's not like that. It's all absolute. There's nothing contested. It's what tests everything else. That's the truth of it. Promised before the world began. That's the eternal life promised before the world began. Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him. So you think of it, whether you're in a jail, in a pub, on the corner, or a young fella, in any condition, God knew you. God knew you. And God had a plan for you, and God had a purpose for you. And even though you and me went the opposite way from it, God brought us right to it by the Holy Ghost. Whether we knew it or not, that's the truth. God worked it out according to his will and his purpose and his plan. God done it. Now we had a choice in it. We had to make a decision. And thank God he gave us the grace to make it. Amen? Thank God for it. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And I tell you, there's no blame on the believer tonight when you're before him. There's no finger can be pointed at you. According to Romans chapter 8, there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no judgment for them. They're in Christ Jesus. God's wrath was on him for me and you. Galatians tells us that curse was on him. 1 Peter 1:20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You could also read in Hebrews, God in some dry times and diverse manners. Now, when you break that down, it means in parts and parcels, God spoke to the prophets. I'm quoting you from Hebrews. But in these last days have spoken unto us by his Son. Isn't that wonderful? It's no longer in parts and parcels. What it means is he gave them a bit of light and a bit more light. Doesn't Paul even say we look through a glass? But one day we're going to see him face to face. Isn't that wonderful? And we're going to be like him. We're going to be like the Lord. We're going to be changed. We're going to be like him. So that's just really our introduction on everlasting. Now I want to look at the gospel. And I mightn't pronounce these words right, but that's not important. Ugalon. Now, I might be saying that right, but it's meaning for gospel, which is good news itself. That's what it means. The gospel means good news itself. So first of all, we've seen it's everlasting, and it's good news itself. So the message we have is good news. But some of what's been preached, it's not good news. Because I've heard people saying, if you don't see it the way our group sees it, you're not getting in. Well, my Bible doesn't say that. My Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the good news. Now, when will that be, brother? Well, according to the book of Joel, the book of Acts, and the book of Romans, it shall come to pass in the last days. And we're in them days. And I believe in water baptism. You know that with all my heart, but I don't believe it saves you. I do not believe water baptism saves you. I know some groups believe that. I don't believe that. I believe you're saved because of what Jesus Christ done on you on the cross. And you believe it in simple childlike faith and confess your sins. Then you get baptized as an act of obedience. And you follow on to the Lord and you promise the Holy Spirit. I believe that. But baptism by itself won't save you. I heard an old preacher saying one time years ago, he says, I've baptized a lot of devils in my time, but I've baptized real Christians as well. That's the truth. There's people think if I get in the water and see it, there's no power in the water. The power's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Never, you can never get away from the blood. The regeneration powers through the blood of Jesus Christ. You do the water baptism as obedience until it. But the power's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad the blood cleanses from all sin? The Bible doesn't say the water cleanses from all sin. The Bible says the blood does that. Amen. This is the good news. The good news of the kingdom and the salvation through Christ. Matthew. Now, I have a lot of scriptures I want to read you about this. It's the Bible study, and I'm going to read a lot from Matthew and Mark and so on. And I'll go so far and I'll stop because I won't get finished. I won't even get to the preaching part or the appointed part. There's the preaching, then there's the appointed. And there's, as the Father sent me, so send I you. I like that. Sent. Jesus was a sent one. He was sent. And here's the thing. He was sent to save no one but sinners. So really the fellow can save himself. He didn't come for him. If he can do it his own self, he doesn't need the Lord. But I needed the Lord. Amen. I'll guarantee you needed the Lord. But he came to save us, didn't he? Thank the Lord we believe that tonight. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He preached the gospel and he demonstrated it. Amen. If there's any word for the church of God's lacking the day, it's that second part. There's certainly lots of preaching, and there's lots of good preaching. Now, we can't do it unless God lets us and does it, but we need to believe it. We need to believe we've got the authority in Mark 16 to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We need to believe we've got the authority in the book of James to call the elders of the church and anoint with oil in the prayer of faith and save the sick. We need to believe that. We're to follow what the Lord done and the disciples did what the Lord done. Jesus says, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely have received, freely have given you. And after they got the Holy Spirit, the first thing at the gate, go beautiful, they raise the man up that's crippled, the lame man. They acted out what they preached. And they took opportunity after the miracle to preach the gospel. They used it as an opportunity to preach the gospel. Matthew 9, verse 35, look what it says. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now you'll also read in other places that he taught it as well. He preached and he taught. And he demonstrated the power of God. So I'll tell you, so I've heard people saying we don't need preaching. Well, I'll tell you, if you take preaching out of this Bible, it doesn't leave you much. I don't see anything else you're called to do. Somebody that's called like the disciples is called to preach. That's God's way. That's how Jesus done it. That's how the disciples done it. And then they prayed and they said, Lord, confirm your word. Signs, wonders, and miracles. And in the name of thy holy child, Jesus, when they preached the word of God. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. In all the world. For a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Now there's places they say where it still hasn't even reached. I remember watching, I don't know even where but I have the video still or not, but I used to have a video of Lester Summerall. And I don't even know where it was, the land they went out till. They flew him out in planes, and then he got there and he met the people. And then they took him with donkeys, and they went away up these mountains into these people up there, and they worshipped images, the witch doctor. And I used to have the video of it, and it showed you the whole trip. And they got him up there, and there's a young girl, she was dying. And the witch doctor done all his boogly woogly and whatever. He had smoke going in, he had big statues up, and he had all sorts of nonsense. And they went in and they wakened Lester Summerall. The man was exhausted. He had traveled on a plane, he went on a donkey, and he'd walked for miles. And they got him up out of bed. And I'll tell you something, he didn't have no meeting to get prayed up or any of that there. He came in and he prayed a simple prayer for God to raise that young girl in the name of Jesus Christ, and God delivered her on the spot. And the power of God hit her and she got out of her chair. And that old priest, he went like that, and I can see him. And he looked at it and he ran all over the place and he kicked it and he booted it and he burnt everything he had right there and then. And he got converted on the spot. And the whole tribe could see him. All of them. And the revival power broke out through one miracle. One miracle. And I tell you, miracles is in this Bible. And we can never take the miracles away from the preaching. And I know there's people, they don't ever want to pray for nobody. And that's fine. I'm not here to say one way or the other. But I'll tell you what, if we're going to preach it like the original, we have to do it. We have to do it all. Amen. And if we haven't got the faith for it, we need to pray to get it. But we need to go forward in expectation. Not worrying what we're seeing, but just believing it. That God's going to do it. And God will do it. Because he can't fail. And he's paid the price for it. Praise God. Matthew 26, 13 says, verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman have done, be told for a memorial of her. And I haven't time to go into all the stories behind all these tonight. I'm just getting you the highlights. Mark 1, verse 1 and verse 14. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad it's not belonging to any group? It's God's gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He come preaching. That's what the Lord done. He went everywhere preaching the good news. And the woman of the blood issue was healed. There's so many miracles. What the Lord done. Matthew 8 verse 35. And whithersoever and whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same will save it. And I've heard people say, no, you're far too young to get saved and serve God. Your whole life will be wasted. No. You might lose what people call life, but you'll get real life. Eternal life. Mark 10, 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there's no man that have left his house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But the Lord will reward them. The Lord will reward them. Many times the devil tells us, like, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. And I've been preaching a good few years now. Many times you feel what you're doing it for. And you know the enemy attacks you. He attacks you. But then when you see some wee lad or some wee girl getting saved, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. Praise God, it's worth it, isn't it? When God starts to move. Chapter 13, verse 10, and the gospel must first be published amongst all nations. I tell you, we don't need a word from the Lord to go. We've already had them. We've been commissioned to go. And I tell you, every opportunity you get, go and preach the gospel. Amen. Chapter 14, and I'm going to close. Chapter 14, I'm not finished, but I won't get finished. Mark 14, verse 9, verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also this woman hath done shall be a memorial. Chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then it goes on to say, and he that believeth in this baptized shall be saved. And these signs will follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I want to read you from the book of Acts, and we're going to pray. Acts 15, verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice amongst us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. I had a fellow challenged me on Facebook or one of them sites, and he was telling me there was different gospels and he went in this dispensations, what he didn't know about. I know all about it. And I could probably tell him where he got his doctrines from, because I've read them all. And then he started telling me, well, this one was to the Jews and someone else was to somebody else. But when I asked him the question, who was Paul, Peter sent to, everything went blank. He never answered back. Because Peter wouldn't preach to certain people the gospel. How many knows that? And he went up on the rooftop. He was going to go to the chosen selection. But the Lord fixed that, didn't he? And he seen the sheet coming down before him of all kinds of stuff. Now you know the word, some of them wouldn't go to the Gentiles. Just, how many knows that's the truth? God had to give them a poke or two. He did of all of us. The eagle stirs the nest. And he says, Peter, what are you saying? He's all these unclean animals. He said, Lord, I've never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. And the Lord said to him, don't you call what I've clean, uncommon or unclean. And I tell you, somebody mightn't be in our wee group, but if they're washed in the blood of Jesus, they're clean. Amen. They don't have to see all the things the way I see it. They probably won't. And I won't see it all the way they see it. But that won't mean they're not my brother or sister. I've washed in the blood of Jesus. But he never come back to me to answer that one. He was using Paul as a standard. And praise God, we believe in Paul's message. But God used Peter as well, didn't he? The Holy Ghost fell on Peter in Acts 2, chapter 2, and he preached a wonderful message. Repent ye therefore and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What about the next verse? For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. To everyone. Let's come and pray tonight. Then I'm going to ask for Brother John to come and Davey to come as well. We're going to lay hands on Brother John and pray for him. Maybe John Kernaghan as well come up, and Brother Davey and Gary here, and we'll pray for Brother John and anyone else wants prayer as well. And let's believe the Lord tonight that Jesus Christ is the same. He remains the same. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the everlasting gospel. Lord, this is the real gospel, your gospel. Not the gospel of some man's organization, but your gospel, an everlasting gospel. A gospel that began before the world with no beginning, with no ending. The everlasting gospel, the good news. We thank you for the good news tonight. Good news, Jesus saves. Good news, Jesus heals. And just as your blood washes our sins away, by your wounds, your stripes, we are healed. We thank you that you bore for us on the cross all those wounds, five wounds he bore on Calvary. What a Savior. Lord, we'll worship you tonight. We'll praise you tonight. Lord, we'll love you with all of our hearts. We pray you'll bless your people tonight. We pray you'll touch them tonight. Minister to each one. For those that need special prayer, minister them tonight. For those that received prayer over this last few weeks, minister to them, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. And Father, we would sincerely ask you tonight that you will stretch your arm forth with mighty signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And Father, just have thy way, and may the Holy Ghost confirm your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I just want us to be in the attitude of prayer as the brothers come.